Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. My name is Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul, and today our guests are Kevin O'Connor of Valley Performing Arts, here to talk about their upcoming production of A Christmas Story, and special guest Steve Heimel, here to talk about the author of the play, Gene Shepherd.
Welcome, guests.
Well, yeah, it's good to be here.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, great. We'll start with you, Kevin. A Christmas Story by Gene Shepherd is an adaptation of a story and then into a movie, and now it's on stage as a play, and you're doing it up at VPA.
That's correct.
And what role do you play?
In the play, I play the old man. It was basically Ralph Barker's father.
Okay, and Ralph Barker's... Well, let's roll back a little bit.
Okay.
This is... it's become a classic, and it's a story of growing up in Cleveland, is it?
No, it's Holman, Indiana.
Oh, Holman, Indiana,
yeah,
okay.
A very small town in the Midwest. And the main character, his search for the whole play is to get himself a Red Ryder BB gun. And it's a story about how he goes through that process of getting that for Christmas.
Right, and it takes place in the 1950s.
Actually, late 1930s.
Oh, wow. Okay, okay.
And it's a comedy.
And it's a comedy geared directly for kids. Kids of all ages would really enjoy this play.
Yeah. And Steve, you just, you're here by your generosity. And to talk about Gene Shepherd, who's somebody I remember listening to as a teenager on the radio, and I was always fascinated. He was one of the great masters of monologue. And you and I, we've talked about Gene before, and maybe have you heard the Christmas Story, him doing it?
No, but something is ringing a bell about that, the Red Ryder BB gun. So I may have heard parts of it on the radio, but it was so many years ago. Yeah, Gene Shepherd is one of the most groundbreaking radio personalities of the 20th century. I don't think there's any question about it. Of course, most radio only exists in the 20th century anyway. But he was somehow able to hold an audience in New York City on radio station WOR for years and years and years, every night for 45 minutes. They had 15 minutes of news at the top of the hour, and then Shep would come on, and he had an engineer would play a few sound effects, a little music every now and then. But for the most part, he just talked, and what he would do was tell a story. And as a kid, well, actually, as a kid, I didn't know about him because living in Pennsylvania, I was so far away that you had to work pretty hard to pick him up, and he didn't come on until 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only when I got in radio as a youngster, teenager, that somebody said, "You got to learn about this guy, Shepherd." And I couldn't believe it. I remember the first night we had to drive up to the top of a hill, and we listened to it on the car radio because it'd come in, and here with this guy was telling this story about Hammond, Indiana, and his mom, and her pink chenille bathrobe, and his buddies Schwartz and Flick and Bruner, and it was so vivid,
so
and
compelling.
He just relived that whole. He relived that right on the radio, and he could talk for an hour. That was amazing, and I've been trying to live up to that, but I can't get past about 10 minutes.
So, Kevin, you're nodding as you're listening to this. This is all part of the play, I take it?
The characters are just out of his life story. Where Ralph and Flick and Schwartz, they have their adventures, and they get their adventure with Scott Farkas, the local bully, and mm-hmm. how he gets involved with it. As he was saying, information about the mom, almost spot on. Just you know, really good life story from back in the days.
And it's also mm-hmm. true, and everybody can relate to it. I came to this late. I don't think I've even seen the entire movie as of yet, just in little fragments. But I've heard about it so many times. I've seen it in my mind, just like as a radio listener mm-hmm. would have, you know, the movie going on in his mind. And the thing about Gene Shepherd was, when I would listen, I would think that he's got to be done now. He's run out of gas, and there would be a pause, and then he would go on, and then it would be like, and I would marvel, and I would start to get like nervous and think, boy, if I was in his position, how could he just keep going and going and going? And he would take it right up to the end of the hour, and just more and more. And then I think music would start to play, and he would start talking over the music, and I wouldn't want it to end. It was just like I don't know, just the best. And I wish we could have them on the radio again or something. I know I have a couple albums. He had a double album where he did some of the best of Gene Shepherd. But I read that he broadcast from a little tiny cinder block building in New Jersey.
Well, you know, one of his engineers now lives in town, and I've talked with him quite a bit. That's Rich McClear.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, yeah. And Rich says, Rich was a kid engineer at WOR. That's where he got started in radio. And because he got that kind of license you have to have back then to do all this technical stuff. And he said that Shepherd would not let his engineer leave the booth. You know, for people that don't know, radio used to take place on two sides of a glass. One side of the glass was the talent, and the other side was the tech. And so Shepherd, part of the reason he was able to speak the way he did was he was talking directly to his engineer. They say to be good on the radio, you're supposed to picture someone that you're talking to. And he had him right there, and he wouldn't let him leave. But he was so concentrated. McClear said one time when stereo first came in, they actually played a train right through Shepherd's head in the middle of his monologue just to see what would happen. He didn't miss a beat.
Great story. That's great.
Great story. I suppose we should ask you a little about who's playing in your play.
Okay. Well, obviously, it's a children's play. So we have some really outstanding child actors playing. Cody is, well, we have two people that play Ralph, the junior. Cody and Matt, very good actors. They've gotten themselves very much into the role. And you could just see them back in Indiana in the 30s just playing the part. So they're really getting themselves into it. The rest of the cast, we have a bunch of kids. Obviously, we're trying to get as many children involved as possible. So we have Ruby, who plays Esther Jane. We have Ariane, who plays the name just escaped me for a second, but Helen Weathers, playing very good parts for somebody who's just basically started acting. So our kids, you know, other kids are going to come to the play and see these children doing stuff, and they're going to go, wow, we can do that too. And our adult actors, they're spot on. We have a lot of good experience with those folks.
That's good. I have to give a station break now. For those of you just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with our guests, Kevin O'Connor from Valley Performing Arts and Steve Heimel, talking about the author of their performance of A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, and that's all these kids you say that want to jump in on the bandwagon and get in with the play. This is the great thing about community theater, mm-hmm. especially up there where you're so organized, and it seems to be such a big part of your town, Wasilla, mm-hmm. That I'm sure you'll have, like, you know, requests to do this every year from here on in, perhaps.
Well, with VPA, what we're looking to do possibly down the road is to have more children theater. Because there is such a demand for that up in the valley and down here, as a matter of fact, too.
I think all over the country, mm-hmm. I think that may be the next big thing. If there is the next big thing in theater, I think the kids' theater, people are starting to write plays with parts for kids because, like, you know, they could say, like, women are left out of the whole dramatic mm-hmm. narrative and everything. There's, like, you know, four guy parts for every one woman, maybe. There's no kid parts either. So that's something that's coming up with a lot of playwrights.
Right. And what we've had in the past, Little Women last season, very good. I mean, we had kids that were going for that quite a bit. Cheaper by the Dozen, we had that a couple years ago. And again,
a dozen kids.
Yeah, so you have people coming out for it. When we did Beauty and the Beast, all kinds of kids coming out. So there's definitely the niche to have children performances.
Well, we have at least two children's theaters in Anchorage that do nothing but children's mm-hmm. stuff. So one imports and the other produces.
And plus, this is the Christmas theme, mm-hmm. which is, you know, this time of year is a great thing to do. Who do you have playing the Bumpus Hounds?
Oh, we got a really good technician doing that. So you can hear them coming in from the outside, and they're almost as if they're on stage.
Kind of like a train, huh?
That's right.
I was thinking about this with kids and what a valuable learning experience it is for kids to do theater. And it's not just for the business of me and, you know, getting out there and expressing yourself and all those new agey kind of things that people like kids to have self-esteem and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it is, you can't do theater without collaborating. you can't do theater without working with other people. And there are not enough collaborative ventures nowadays when it comes to education. So, you know, you have teamwork. Basically, the whole thing will fall apart unless everybody puts a little something extra in.
I agree, and the only kind of teamwork there is are the actual teams is like athletic sports. And if somebody isn't into that, then, you know, they're basically a solo act, and it's kind of an isolated kind of bookish thing. And this is a way for the kids that aren't into, you know, going out there and getting all sweaty and stuff and injured and bruised, that they could also have that feeling of collaborative teamwork. Yeah.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And these kids are really enjoying it. From, you know, you have long practices. They're there for the whole time. They're engaged. They're really wanting to make sure that their roles are acted out very well. So they're just completely there. They're always present, and their mind is there to see what they can do to improve their skills and to really do something different than just the Nintendos and the Game Boys and stuff.
Running back over all those years, thinking back over all the hours that I devoted listening to Shepard on WOR, I'm thinking a lot of it was his ability to reflect the mental state of a youngster that essentially you could say he was almost juvenile. His sense of humor was certainly sort of juvenile. No, seriously. But I mean, look, that's why he was so popular in Playboy magazine. You know, it was the same deal because there was a scatological element of certain kinds of jokes that kids really get hung up on.
Kind of period curiosity and everything.
But the anxiety of the child, the little boy just getting close to adolescence and all the little things that they keep hidden and what they do together with their friends and all that, he just reflects that so well.
Yeah, and that's such a great thing to draw upon from art, because I think the presentation between the audience and what's happening on stage is we don't know what's going to happen next. And there's a part of our imagination which heats up, which was always on fire back then. And now, unfortunately, where everything is a known entity is kind of lost. It's cooled down since then. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, guys, for coming in and talking about your show up at Valley Performing Arts. We
appreciate
Kevin O'Connor.
The time.
Thank you. And special guest Steve Heimel here talking about his hero and mine, Gene Shepard.
Role model, man. He could do a pregnant pause better than Paul Harvey.
Great.
And now it's time for the Stage Talk calendar. UAA Department of Theater and Dance presents Godspell, which opens has opened last week and is running on UAA's Main Stage Theater in the Fine Arts Building. Showtimes are Fridays at 8 p.m., Saturdays at 3 p.m. and 8 p.m., and a Sunday matinee at 3 p.m. And this show is kid-friendly for ages 5 or 6 on up. For tickets and more information, you can go to centertix.net or call 786-4849. That's 786-4849.
And at Cyrano's Playhouse, previewing Thursday and opening Friday, The Boyfriend. For tickets and info, call 263-ARTS or centertix.net.
And opening tonight in Wasilla, Valley Performing Arts presents A Christmas Story. This play runs from November the 28th till December the 21st. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. at the Makatans Theater. For tickets, you can go online to valleyperformingarts.org or call 373-0195. That's 373-0195. Well, that's it for this week's Stage Talk. Thank you so much for listening. For KSKA, my name is Mark Muro.
And I'm Jean Paul.